الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام الأتمان الأكملان على خير خلق الله أجمعين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أما بعد، all praise is due to Allah, and we ask Allah to exalt the mention, grant peace and send His blessings upon the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, upon his wives, his companions, and all those who follow them on the path of righteousness until the day of recompense. We continue with our discussion on the asma and sifat, the names and attributes of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And sadly, we had to miss last Friday due to da'wah related travel. And I had made a small request that you go ahead and you go over what we have studied, fetching for any things which you haven't understood well, so that you can ask the necessary questions, if any. So did you come across anything that was too complicated, or shall we just move on?
The third principle, the second subdivision of the third principle, can you just repeat?
The second subdivision of the third principle, which is the thubutiyya and salbiyya. Yes, we said that thubutiyya is the ones which affirm equality to Allah. Affirming equality. So Allah is al-hayy, the living, al-sami', the hearing, al-basir, the seeing, al-qawi, the almighty, the powerful, al-razzaq, the provider, sustainer, and so on and so forth. As-salbiyya is negating a quality that is imperfect, negating imperfection from Allah, which by default means affirming the opposite. When you negate the negative, you're affirming the positive. For example, Allah says, "Lam yalid wa lam yulad." He neither begets nor is he begotten. Affirming the fact that Allah is unique, Allah is the creator, Allah is in no need of having children, nor was He in need of being brought into existence because He is the creator. لَا تَأْخُذُهُ سِنَةٌ وَلَا نَوْمٌ. Neither sleep nor slumberness overtake Him. Negating sleep and slumberness affirms total ability and control and awareness. So we said when Allah negates a quality, we automatically affirm the opposite of that quality. When Allah negates a quality, we automatically affirm the opposite. Because perfection cannot be reached until the opposite of the imperfect is established. Clear? Hopefully. Okay. We will initiate the discussion today on the third subdivision in regards to the thubutiyya, the affirmed attributes of Allah, which can be further divided into two categories, ذاتيyya and فعليyya. ذاتيyya is ذال ألف تاء ياء تاء مربوطة. ذاتيyya. And فعليyya, fa, عين, lam, ya, ta, marbuta. Just in case you're interested in writing the Arabic text. I don't believe there's a board here. Okay? So فعليyya, ذاتيyya, and فعليyya. What does that mean? It explains. It says, ذاتيyya are the attributes of the essence. They are the attributes of Allah's essence subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are the attributes that do not cease. What does cease mean? Exactly. Nor will ever cease to be descriptive of Him, such as hearing and seeing. Meaning, at all times, ever and forever, eternally, Allah is all hearing, all seeing. Never do these qualities ever cease to exist, nor do we cease to describe Allah with them. Because they are ذاتيyya. ذاتيyya means personal. One of the meanings of that is personal, specific. فعليyya, on the other hand, is different. It's the attributes of Allah's actions, and they are the attributes that are connected to His will, His mashi'ah. If He wills, He will do it, and if He wills, He will not do it. Such as rising over the throne and His coming. Such as ghadab. Ghadab, Allah's anger. Is that a permanent quality? That Allah is always described as being angry, or is it a reaction to the disbelief, to the rejection of the people, to the evil of the people? I'm speaking to you guys. It's a reaction. Meaning it's not something that is permanent, but if people do something which brings about Allah's anger, then the quality of anger becomes that of Allah Azza wa Jalla, and He's described with it, but it's only fa'liyya. Meaning, according to His will, He will to become angry, subhanahu wa ta'ala. The same thing goes for rising over the throne. We as Muslims believe that Allah Azza wa Jalla made the throne, al-arsh, the greatest of creation. Among the greatest of creation besides human beings. And we know that it's the highest, it's the roof of the creation. The throne of Allah is the roof, it's the highest point in the creation of Allah. And we know that Allah Azza wa Jal rose over the throne. However, when we say that Allah rose over the throne, which occurs 7 times in the Quran, ثُمَّ اسْتَوَى عَلَى الْعَرْشِ الرَّحْمَنُ عَلَى الْعَرْشِ اسْتَوَى إِلَىٰ أَخِرِهِ. When we affirm that, we are not saying that Allah is reclining on the throne, nor are we affirming any kind of contact between Allah and the throne, nor are we suggesting that Allah needs the throne. Rather, what we're saying is Allah created the creation, He made the throne the highest part of the creation, and then Allah rose over all of the creation over the throne. How? It's none of our business, as we will see later. It's none of our business. Imagining it, trying to visualize it, is impossible. Therefore, it is not permissible to discuss it. But we believe what Allah said. When Allah said, Ar-Rahmanu ala al-Arsh istawa, say, Sami'na wa ata'na. We listen and we obey. We listen and we believe. Sami'na wa saddaqna. We don't negotiate with Allah Azza wa Jal. So Allah rising over the throne, is that something that is a quality that is dhatiyya or fa'liyya? Fa'liyya. Meaning when Allah wills, He does it, subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's dependent on Allah's will, His mashi'a. Whereas al-dhatiyya is not related to Allah's will. Allah's hearing all the time. It's not a matter of willing to hear or not willing to hear. It's a permanent, personal quality of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And then His coming. What is this referring to? Who could understand this? It says at the last sentence, in the last sentence, such as rising over the throne and His coming. Who's coming? And what are we? What is the author speaking about?
No.
Yeah, when?
Like on the third part of the night.
La. No, you're right. Wait. On the third part of every night, Allah descends. Yeah, we have to be particular here. Descends to the lowest heaven. We're speaking about coming.
The day of judgment?
Yes. Can you remember an ayah from the Quran? An ayah. I need an ayah to prove an evidence for you, to support your cause. Today I need it. I'm guessing all of you have memorized the surah. I'm guessing, only guessing, if you guys are fourth level, or you should all have memorized Juz'u Amma, at least. Or maybe most of it. If not, don't tell me. Just keep it a secret. But do something about it. And in Juz'u Amma, there's a surah which speaks about this very quality of Allah. What is it? I'll make it easy for you. It's in Surah Al-Fajr. You don't have Surah Al-Fajr memorized?
No.
Now are you going to recite the whole thing now? وَجَاءَ رَبُّكَ وَالْمَلَكُ صَفًّا صَفًّا جَاءَ. The verb of coming, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the angels, Allah will come and the angels will come in rows. And it comes in other places in the Quran as well. So the coming of Allah Azza wa Jal in a manner befitting His majesty. And it's very important to add this qualifying statement. Allah rises over the throne and Allah descends to the lowest heaven. And Allah comes on Yawm al-Qiyamah in a manner which befits His majesty. Not in a manner which you imagine in your mind. Not in a manner which is similar to those of the creation. You can, when you say rising over, you can imagine a person going over the roof and going down off the ladder. And you can imagine someone coming and this, all this is human. Human beings, and Allah is not like human beings. Therefore, it is not what you are imagining. So we say Allah will do these things in a manner befitting His greatness and His majesty subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is possible that an attribute could be both dhatiyya and fi'liyya according to each of the two, such as speech. Allah Azza wa Jal is a permanent quality, it's a personal quality that He speaks, and He also speaks according to will. When there's a reason, when he wants to reveal something, He would reveal it to Jibreel. And then Jibreel would be responsible for bringing it to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Allah Azza wa Jal will speak to Jibreel directly. In another hadith, in a hadith in Bukhari, the hadith of Abu Hurairah radiyallahu anhu, it says clearly, إِذَا أَحَبَّ اللَّهُ عَبْدًا نَادَى جِبْرِيلِ فَقَالَ أَوْ فَيَقُولُ إِنِّي أُحِبُّ فُلَانًا فَأَحِبَّهُ إِلَى أَخْرِ الْحَدِيثِ. When Allah loves a slave of His, He calls on Jibreel. He calls Jibreel and He tells him, I love such and such person. So love him, then Jibreel will love him, He will tell the angels to love him, and the hadith is long. But the point I'm trying to refer to here is that Allah calls on Jibreel. He calls him. He speaks to him subhanahu wa ta'ala. The same way He spoke to Musa, as you all know. So speech is one of these which could be dhatiyya and fi'liyya simultaneously. In regards to the origin of the attribute, it is an attribute of His essence, because Allah never stopped nor will stop speaking. It's just part of the quality of Allah to speak. And in regards to the units of speech that are put forth, it is an attribute of the action. Since speech is connected to His will, He speaks as He wills, when He wills. So, speaking is a quality of Allah. However, it becomes effective when His will is integrated. When there's a need for Him to speak subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it becomes dhatiyya in a sense, fi'liyya in another sense. Is the AC broken? Yes, it is. And it's leaking water, mashallah. Well, you're going to sweat fi sabilillah al-yawm. The fourth subdivision, each attribute of Allah should bring three questions to mind. Each attribute of Allah should bring three questions to mind. The first question, is it real as opposed to figurative, and why? Question number two, is it permissible to say how it is and why? Question number three, is it comparable to the attributes of the creation and why? Now don't read. Stop reading now, please. Don't read. And someone is going to answer these lovely questions. Question number one, is it real as opposed to figurative and why?
Yes.
What? Is it real or figurative?
Real.
Real. Why? And we forgot already principle one and two.
Yeah, well, because it is based on the religion, on the revelations.
Okay.
So we should believe in, as per its apparent meaning.
Yes. Excellent. Exactly what I was looking for. The principle is we believe in the words as per their apparent meaning, face value. And we don't go giving them figurative interpretations unless the real meaning is impossible. But as long as there's a possibility, then we have to accept the fundamental, original, face value meaning of the text. Otherwise, if we open the door that everything is figurative, then you cannot prove anything anymore. You don't even know who you're worshipping, because someone will give you a figurative explanation for every one of the attributes of Allah. And then you no longer know who Allah is, because everyone is interpreting Allah according to his own way. So it's the wisdom of Allah that He closed that door and He made it face value in this particular fashion. The second question, which you shouldn't be reading yet still, please, is it permissible to say how it is and why? Is it permissible to say how that attribute of Allah is?
No.
Why? Was that like 10 answers in one? Okay. One answer. I need one answer that I can hear clearly. Huh? Excuse me? Is it permissible to say how and why?
No.
Fine, no. Why not?
Our intellect has limits.
We are not allowed to speak about Allah without knowledge.
Yes. Among the things Allah made haram is to say about Allah that which you have no knowledge of. So, since no one has seen Allah, nor is there anything like Allah, for someone to say that that attribute is like that without having ever seen Allah is lying against Allah. You're describing the how or the manner while you haven't seen it. How in the world are you going to explain it when you haven't seen it? So if you haven't seen it, you're not allowed to speak about it, because this falls under the knowledge of the unseen, which Allah did not reveal to us. If Allah wanted us to know how, He would have also revealed the how. But He didn't reveal the how, He only revealed the actual attribute. Therefore, we don't go and dwell into this discussion. It's not even permissible to speak about it. The last question, is it comparable to the qualities or the attributes of the creation, and why?
No.
Why?
Wait.
Translate, laysa kamithlihi shay.
There's no one like unto him.
MashaAllah. Are you reading or this is from your mind?
No, our mind.
Okay, good. I'm just making sure. Tayyib, bismillah. Okay, so let's just quickly read the answers provided by the author. The answer to the first question is yes, it is real, because the foundation of speech concerning the subject is based on actuality, as opposed to symbolism. Actuality is from actual, which is factual, which is face value, as we mentioned earlier. And symbolism, what is symbolism? What is symbolism or symbolic? When you intend something or you give the word a meaning other than its original meaning. Right?
Yes.
So you say, for example, the flag of such and such country has an eagle, and this eagle is symbolic of bravery and courage and flying high and blah blah blah. So an image of an animal sometimes is symbolic to other meanings that they want to explain. So this is the same idea. We don't do this in Islam. We don't give things this religious symbolism, which is very much prevalent in many other religions. Most other religions are fascinated with this symbolism, religious symbolism, and it's really not part of Islam. There are very limited situations where we actually do refer to religious symbolism. And we have to have an evidence from the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ to do so. Otherwise, it's not per Islamic teachings. This may not be abandoned unless there's authentic evidence that restricts it. Okay? So we may have an evidence which may allow us to be figurative or symbolic, but with the evidence. Without the evidence, then we go back to the principle that is actual. The second answer is no, it is not permissible to describe how an attribute is due to Allah's statement, وَلَا يُحِيطُونَ بِهِ عِلْمًا. they cannot or they do not encompass him or encompass any of his knowledge subhanahu wa ta'ala. That was Surah Taha. And also the intellects are not able to comprehend the nature of how Allah's attributes are. Whew. That's okay, I'll live without it. Jazakallah khair. That will look too weird. Okay, so the intellect, we said, we cannot perceive. That's the verb I'm looking for. You cannot perceive the attribute of Allah, how it is, because it's just beyond our human intellect. We said in the early classes that we do this based on example. If we have seen something, then we can create a new image in our mind based on that pre-existing image in our mind. We can add to it, modify it, so on and so forth. If we don't have this pre-existing image, it is impossible to create one in our own minds. And if we were to do so, it will not be according or accurate to the real thing. The third answer is, it cannot be compared to the creation's attributes due to Allah saying, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ. What ayah is similar in meaning to لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ? وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدٍ. Good. And there's another one, I believe it's in Surah Taha or Maryam. هَلْ تَعْلَمُ لَهُ سَمِيًّا. هَلْ تَعْلَمُ لَهُ سَمِيًّا. Do you know anyone or anything which is comparable to him? Do you know anything or anyone which is comparable to him? And the rhetorical, this is a rhetorical question, meaning Allah does not expect you to answer, because the answer is no. No, there's nothing comparable to Allah Azza wa Jal. And also Allah is worthy of the utmost perfection. Therefore, it is impossible for him to be compared to the creation, since that is something deficient and imperfect. That is the concept of Islam and Tawheed. Allah is perfect in the ultimate sense, and we are imperfect. Therefore, the Creator can never be the creation, and the creation can never be the Creator. This is why, if you're having a discussion with a Christian, and they tell you that Jesus is the Son of God, or they tell you that Jesus is God incarnate, or he is the manifestation or the embodiment of God on earth, or any of these philosophical expressions that the Christians usually like to say, then you tell them, how is that possible? When Allah God is the most perfect. Now let's look at Jesus. Did Jesus eat food?
Yes.
When you eat food, what happens? Eventually, where do you have to go? Bathroom. Unless you're a special person, which is impossible. The consequence of eating and digestion is going to the bathroom. So, did Jesus eat food? Yes. Does that mean he went to the bathroom? Yes. Does God go to the bathroom?
No.
Done. That's it. Now, no matter what you try to tell me afterwards, it's just not going to register. You can get philosophical, you can tell me, yeah, but see, he was God in one sense, and this is the human part, and now you're saying things which the Bible didn't say. And you're saying things which Jesus didn't say, and you're saying things which the Quran negated, and you're coming up with your own theology, which I don't know where you got from. That's what you say to the Christian. I don't know. You're telling me now that this is Jesus had, you know, the God form, and this is a human form, and he had to put on act. So when he was being crucified, he said, Eli, Eli, lima sabachthani. This is, he was playing the role of the human being. He was not the divine one. When he was divine, all this is philosophy. Say, there's nothing in your Bible which suggests that. This is what your priests had to fabricate in their own mind in order to, endorse the theology of Christianity, which is based on the death of Jesus on the cross, so you can go to paradise based on him dying for you. The easiest way in the world. The easiest way ever. Jesus died for me. Okay, he's my Lord and Savior. Khalas. Done deal. As for believing, doing righteous deeds, and fasting the month of Ramadan, and praying 5 times a day, this becomes optional for you. It's optional. It's because if they say it is not optional, then say, then why did Jesus die for me? If I still have to be good, if you're saying if I do bad and I'm not good, I will not be admitted to paradise, then what is the point of Jesus dying for me? If he died for my sins, then why am I still accountable? If you still say I'm accountable after he died for me, meaning he didn't die for me. There's no escape. That you can corner them every single time to prove to them that they're actually not following Jesus in any way, shape or form. And that we Muslims are the best followers to Jesus and Abraham and Moses and surely the last one, the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. So God perfect, human beings imperfect. Once you say that the perfect became imperfect, he's no longer perfect. So we don't have a God anymore. And that is impossible. Very important to understand. Now the Shaykh went on to say, the difference between takyif, did I skip? Yeah. And tamthil. All these are Arabic words, but between parentheses is the meaning. Takyif. Ironically, takyif has two meanings. Which is how, and takyif from mukayif, which is AC. We don't have takyif now. I think if you turn it off, it will stop dripping. Or is it drips?
It's okay, it is, there is a container.
Okay. Khalas. So the difference between takyif, which is saying how it is, and tamthil, which is saying it is like such and such. Focus, focus, focus. Don't worry about those who are coming in. They'll manage, inshallah. Well, it looks like we're going to become sardine at the end. Takif is saying how it is, and tamthil is saying it is like such and such. So tamthil is actually going a level beyond takif. Takif is saying in this manner, tamthil is saying like that. Like you can say, for example, takif, he came to the party or he came to the wedding with confidence. That's takif. He came to the wedding with confidence like my father did 20 years ago is tamthil. You've mentioned how and you've actually likened or you compared it to something else. And tamthil. Is that tamthil to describe the manner of an attribute by restricting it to a certain example? Whereas takif is describing the manner of an attribute without restricting it to a certain example. Just saying how, but not saying how, like what. So how without like what is takif. How, while mentioning like what, meaning like that, or like this, or like that person, or like those people, is tamthil. Where you have done takif and you also likened it to someone else. An example of tamthil is if someone were to say the hand of Allah is like the hand of a human being. A'udhu billah. Yeah? So when we do you believe that Allah has a hand?
Yes.
How many? Two hands. No, but wait. Those who said Allahu A'lam, they did well actually. Because they did not know the evidences. Meaning they were being careful about describing to Allah a number without an evidence. So they said, Allahu A'lam. Those who said two are those who already know the evidence. So they gave a confident answer, like I would. Because we have ayat in the Quran, and we have a hadith from the Prophet ﷺ explicitly stating that Allah has two hands. One of them is the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, Iblis. Allah quoted Iblis saying, Allah said to Iblis, قَالَ مَا مَنَعَكَ أَن تَسْجُدَ لِمَا خَلَقْتُ بِيَدَيَّ. What prevented you from prostrating to He whom I created with my two hands? That's in the Quran. Yaday is in the dual, Muthanna. Yad is singular. Aydi is plural. Yadan or Yadain or Yaday, depending on the grammatical location, is dual, Muthanna. And the Prophet ﷺ said, Kilta Yadayhi Yameen, both of Allah's hands are right. So he mentioned that Allah has two hands, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we believe Allah has two hands. But do we know how and what they look like?
No.
But can we say for sure they do not look like those of human beings? Yes. Even though we don't know what they look like, we say they're not like human beings. Evidence, لَيْسَ كَبِثْنِهِ شَيْءٍ. There's nothing like Allah. So when you look at your hand, you do not go beyond that, because this is your hand. By the way, all of our hands are different. If there's a variation between the hands of men and women, and then among women there's variation in hands, and then among men there's variation in hands. If human beings themselves, their hands are not identical, how do you want the Creator to have identical hands with the creation? It's logically impossible. So it is beyond that, and Allah is beyond that subhanahu wa ta'ala. An example of takif is to imagine that the hand of Allah has a specific nature that has no comparison found in the hands of created beings. This type of imagining is not permissible. Yeah, and maybe someone says, okay, I don't want to liken Allah to a creation. I don't want to imagine the hand of Allah as like the hand of a human being. But let me think of something greater than that. Huh? I will imagine a great hand which is suitable to be the hand of Allah. Is that okay?
No.
Some said, inshallah.